Mandolin Orange tonight, and Mandolin Orange are
Emily France
and Andrew Marlin.
And thank you very much for coming. It's been, we've been looking forward to it for quite a while.
And we gather this is the first gig of your tour, but you have travelled a couple of times before, at least in Europe and the UK.
Yeah, I think this is our fourth trip over, right? Or fifth?
Fourth.
Yeah.
And does that include Yorkshire in the past?
I'm going to sound really silly here, but is Yorkshire, is that like the county that we're in? Okay.
Yeah.
I think that we've played in Leeds before, but never here in this town. So it's the first time.
You are within 20 minutes of Leeds by train. And just anecdotally, in a way, that this village exists because of the mill that's this club building is a club for. And you also have a pretty famous mill, I guess, called Carr Mill, near where you live.
Yeah. It's a mall now, but we had a lot of cotton mills, and textiles were really big in North Carolina where we live. So a lot of those old buildings, kind of just like this one, are, I don't know if this one still operates as a mill or not, but yeah, ours are repurposed.
Yes, ours has been repurposed as well for electronics firm, and you know, things rented out, and bookshop, and art galleries. David Hockney is the artist who has exhibited there quite a lot. So it's just got a lot more. It's turned from a mill town into a tourist town, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems the mills aren't making as much stuff these days as they are selling. So, selling the finished products instead.
And it seems as though the North Carolina setting is very much part of the music that you create.
Emily and I were both born and raised in North Carolina and have now, you know, chosen to live there in our adult lives. So, yeah, I think it's hard to not be, you know, influenced by your surroundings. And we've tried to surround ourselves with great musicians and really good friends that are very supportive of us and love to play with us. So, you know, we're constantly just kind of feeding off of each other there in Carrboro.
And you love touring, I gather, festivals and different places that you see?
Yeah, we do really love it. And it's it gets, you know, tiring after a while at the end of a long trip. But right now we're coming off of having a couple months off at home, which is really nice. But you do sort of get the itch to get back out there. And touring is what makes us feel productive and like we're contributing something to the world. So we're excited to be back.
And you've also been incredibly productive in terms of your albums. And the latest Doing Well, you're going to be singing lots of stuff from the current album and also still writing, I guess, more things?
Yeah, still writing a lot, and we'll definitely be, our latest record's called Blind Faller. We just put it out in September of 2016. We'll be doing a bunch of songs off of that and maybe throwing some new ones in, I'm not sure yet. We haven't even made the set list for the night, so we'll see.
I was fascinated by the explanation of the title of Blind Faller, and wondered if you had dreamt that would presage the election of Trump.
Well, I think, you know, everything that was happening in the country and the world really was definitely influencing us when those songs were being written and when we were putting that album together. So I think we knew it was within the realm of possibility. And it was funny, we were just talking to our tour manager here, Nick, who was with us the last time we were here, which was in May, and we were talking, that was when we were still putting the finishing touches on Blind Faller, and we were trying to come up with the title, and we talked to him about it a lot in the car, and he was kind of helping us try and figure out what direction we wanted to go, so
well, we hope that well, it may be a vain hope that not so much damage will be done as by a blind faller, but we'll see. On the other hand, I note that there was a better result in North Carolina, that the Governor McCrory is gone. And what about the new Governor Cooper?
We have high hopes for Governor Cooper. I think a lot of legislation was passed right before he took office that sort of stripped him of a lot of power intentionally. But I think he is a person of integrity and hopefully is going to fight really hard for the right things. So.
Yeah. A small ray of hope in a very dimly lit situation.
Yeah. It does seem at moments like this that things like the women's marches and the contribution of people working hard in the arts, is very significant. We had a mill burned down a year ago last night, and last night there were lantern parades and small community things going on. Do you find at grassroots level that people are continuing to do whatever they can do to keep hoping?
I think so. I mean, I think that's not all you can do, but I think a big step of what you can do as a community is bring people together on a small level, and that just translates to a much bigger audience, I think, and hope.
I think especially during these very stressful times where people are experiencing a lot of trauma because of all these really restrictive changes, people need, you know, music and the arts and ways to express all their feelings even more than ever. So I think we're very committed to being a part of that.
So community is an essential part of that. And do I gather congratulations are in order that you've been celebrating your marriage?
Oh. Yes, that's been a recent turn of events.
Nice to hear, just because of the sense of stability and doing what you can in the community. Mm. And it's just good to hear you've been together all these years and you're going to go on being together and doing good things.
We met, the very first day that we met was Obama's first inauguration day.
Mm.
And so it does feel like we have entered a very different realm of existence now.
So you're from quite a musical family. I think are you as well, Emily, or so you come through your genes, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. So I grew up in a very musical household. My grandmother was a great piano player, and as was my mother, and my sister is also a very good piano player. So I was always around like old hymns, and you know, my grandmother loved to play ragtime music, and so you know, a lot of the old ragtime on piano is just really awesome. I don't know how she could just keep so much going with both hands. It's crazy. But yeah, so growing up with that definitely put a love for music, I think, in my core, you know, and so it was nice when I finally started playing guitar and practicing enough to where I felt like I could actually express myself. It was nice to get some of those notes out. So. Mm.
Yeah. Now, is the mandolin your favorite instrument, or is it still guitar?
I started off on guitar, but mandolin has definitely become my favorite instrument. And part of that, I wonder, it has a very similar timbre to the high notes on the piano, so I wonder if maybe that was, maybe that's just kind of ingrained, so I was looking for that sound, you know. Who knows?
And you, Emily, guitar and fiddle, other ones as well?
Yeah, I started out playing violin when I was a young kid, and I didn't really pick up guitar until my young adulthood when Andrew and I started playing together. I always wanted to learn guitar because when you sing, I feel like it's a really natural thing to turn to. But I didn't really play it much until Andrew was wanting to play a lot of mandolin, so I was forced to learn to play the guitar.
And the songwriter, you, Andrew, was the main one?
Yeah, when I first picked up the guitar, that was kind of my approach. I just started writing songs, and so now it's evolved a lot, and especially since meeting Emily, and now the arranging process falls more to, you know, a collaboration there between me and her. But yeah, I write the songs, and Emily just comes along and makes them a lot better than they would be otherwise.
And the recording and the performing, do you like them both? Are they do they appeal to you both, or do you just hate recording or something like that?
We love recording. I think our main approach as far as recording has been so far is just to, you know, let the song be what it is that day when we hit recording, and when we hit record, and then, you know, let the live show be what it is, because a lot of times we're traveling as a duo, and so naturally they're going to be two totally different things, because we like to include more musicians and more instruments on the recordings. We always have a great time with it, and, you know, have loved every recording process we've been to. We can't always listen to the old recordings with confidence, but but we always love recording them. So
great. So after tonight, you're off on a tour, which includes Celtic connections, and then over to the Netherlands. Is that the England and then Europe? Is that a normal thing that you've done four times?
I feel like we've actually done that most every time that we've been over. Start here in the UK, and then work our way over into the Netherlands. And it's pretty close. Quick travel for us. We're used to everything being way more spread out in the States. So jumping from country to country over here is kind of a thrill for us.
Well, we hope it'll all go smoothly for you from tonight onwards. We're really looking forward to hearing you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.